Good morning. I'm Annette Snyder, and I'd like to acknowledge my colleague Nancy Miller from the Department of Public Policy at UMBC, who does this work with me. We have no relationship to disclose in the research that we have done here. So we've heard this morning a bit about non-elderly nursing home residents and how little we know about them, and that in fact their numbers are growing. And that we are also aware that there is substantial activity at the national and state level to support the needs of individuals to live in the community as opposed to nursing homes, and that we would like to know more about non-elderly individuals and how we might help them, assist them to live in the community if that is their preference. At this point, we've stated, there is a growing number of people who are between the ages of 18 and 64 who are living in nursing homes, and that in fact the number is increasing. From 2000 to 2007, it increased from 10 to 12.9%. And in 2007, we saw that in many states it was well above that average. Our study is looking at non-elderly nursing home residents in Maryland, and Maryland at 14.5% is considerably above the national average of 12.9%. We know a little bit about this population, and we're learning more. Most of the studies that have been done drew on data from the 80s to the 90s, and we had learned that they were primarily male, minority race, and from lower socioeconomic status, and data has shown that they were living alone prior to admission to the nursing home. There are a number of federal and state activities that are actually trying to assist individuals to remain or return to the community. We're very familiar with the 1990 Americans with Disability Act, which in its passage was not so successful in implementation, but there was a big push after the Supreme Court Olmstead decision in 99 for states to become much more active in trying to transition people from nursing homes or to help them remain in the nursing home. What's interesting about all of these efforts is that they have been demonstrations of various kinds and have not been available to the public at large. The New Freedom Initiatives in 2001 and the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health in 2002 spurred a number of demonstrations across the country to activate initiatives in states at state levels, as well as the Real Choices Systems Change Grant Program. 2005, we have Money Follows a Person demonstration, which is in 36 states at this point. Money Follows a Person actually tries to transition individuals from nursing homes back to the community using Medicaid funding. We are aware that Medicaid has a bias wherein there has been opportunities for public payment to support individuals who need nursing home care in institutions, but not in the community. Money Follows a Person allows those same funds to be used for community living, but again, it's only at a demonstration level and not available to individuals in general. In Maryland, I'll go on. Currently, with the Affordable Care Act passage, there is also one more opportunity that's called the CLASS Act, Title VIII of the Affordable Care Act, that is going to develop a voluntary, self-insured prepayment opportunity to pay for community living, and we'll have to see if that actually comes to fruition. So the purpose of our study was to look at factors that might help us predict who would be discharged from a nursing home. All of these demonstrations that we've presented here have not necessarily been based on empirical data that helps us anticipate which individuals are most likely to be successfully discharged from nursing homes. So we were looking at factors that might help us understand who would most likely be able to be assisted in that way. So our hypothesis is that race and gender, having greater functional limitations or cognitive impairment, behavioral systems, and certain geographic locations and the higher availability of nursing homes in those locations would decrease the likelihood of an individual being discharged from a working age individual being discharged from a nursing home. Our research questions are, is there a relationship in the availability of nursing homes? And we measure that as a per capita number of nursing homes in a particular geographic area to discharge from nursing homes in this younger population. And what is the predictive strength of individuals' ADL, cognitive status, race, gender, and mental illness in terms of the likelihood of their being discharged. We're using Anderson's behavior model of service use. Anderson's model, which was revised in 2001, looks at access, use, and outcomes of healthcare services. There are two domains in the Anderson model with four components. The two domains being the contextual or the macro systemic measures, and then also on the individual or micro level. And then each of those domains have four components: predisposing, enabling, need as perceived by the individual, or that could be measured by professionals, and then actual use of health services. And in our study, we used the model by the number of nursing homes, geographic location, which we measure as the jurisdiction within our state, demographic factors, and then perceived need being ADL status, cognitive status, and mental health status. For the study, we used the minimum data set. The minimum data set is a series of assessments that are performed for nursing home residents at admission and then annually and or periodically during their stay. The usefulness of this data is that we were able to look at longer period of time than is typically used in studies of discharge among older adults. The study population consists of 27,527 Maryland nursing home residents that were within our age frames from the years 1999 through 2005. So we had 6 years of data. And we specifically looked at those residents that had been in the nursing home for more than a year. A lot of the efforts that are conducted in terms of transitioning individuals from nursing homes to the community don't necessarily differentiate how long individuals have been in the nursing home or the purpose, the reason that they were there. And we know that for people who have shorter stays, they are much more likely to be discharged. So we were interested in looking at the discharge patterns for people who were perhaps getting into the realm of becoming chronic residents in nursing homes. Our demographic variables include age and race, ethnicity, marital status, gender, and education level. We also consider some other available MDS measures, whether the person lived alone prior to their institutionalization, where they had lived prior to being in the institution, if they had been in another nursing home, in particular, history of mental illness, their ADL status, and also their cognitive status. Discharge preferences and availability of community support are two very interesting measures that are available in MDS. And we were also able to determine whether the discharge destination, so whether the person was discharged to the community or discharged to another type of institution, for instance, hospitalization. The ADL scale uses several MDS measures, bed mobility, transfer, whether a person is able to feed themselves or not, receiving nourishment by feeding tube or parenteral intravenous infusion or and toileting. The cognitive performance scale includes the person's ability to communicate, short-term memory loss, make decisions, and also their ability to make themselves understood. We use Cox, the survival analysis using Cox proportional hazards method. Survival in this instance was whether the person is not discharged from the nursing home. So our censoring variable was discharged to the community, and that might seem counterintuitive. So in this case, survival was, or the risk, the censoring variable was not being discharged. And the estimates actually measure the likelihood or risk. Even though discharge is a good thing, but looks at the risk of being discharged. And survival time was measured in days, and we chose assessments that had an admission date. So starting in 1999, those individuals who were admitted prior to the beginning of our study were not included. We wanted to know the length of the stay, and we could not determine that if we did not know an admission date. So we found that women had a 16% greater likelihood of being discharged than men, and that was statistically significant. The significant findings have blue arrows. White residents were 10% more likely than black residents to be discharged from the nursing home. And a diagnosis of mental illness had a variable effect. Specifically, depression, anxiety. Depression and anxiety did not decrease the likelihood of discharge, and schizophrenia and bipolar illness decreased the likelihood of discharge. Cognitive and ADL impairment were both also creating a negative association, wherein the person was less likely to be discharged from the nursing home. And we found a very variable effect in terms of the county of residence and the number of nursing beds per capita. And you can see here that even as the likelihood of discharge decreases, that the location of residence and the number of nursing home beds, which is the red line, red bars, were very variable and did not follow the likelihood of discharge. So from these findings, we conclude that those with longer nursing home stays are more difficult to discharge from the nursing home, and that it is especially important to understand more about their characteristics and likelihood of being discharged, and that there are likely very complex interactions beyond those that we have modeled so far that mediate and moderate the likelihood of discharge, particularly in terms of geographic location and factors like, contextual factors like the number of nursing home beds may not directly inform us as to whether nursing home residence is more likely. It is important that as we move forward with efforts to discharge individuals from nursing homes, that we look more critically at understanding who the more chronic residents are in terms of length of stay, and that we not necessarily rest our decision making on individuals who are likely to be discharged. That the problem resident with more than a year's stay, if we understand more about their characteristics, we can develop programs that will make their transition more successful. And thank you.